action, romance, and a little bit of comedy. Throw all that into a cauldron, add the eye of a beholder. What do you think you'll get? Well, you don't even have to think, I'll just tell you. You'll get Dungenetics. That's right. That's what you're listening to right now. I know you misclicked, but just stay. In this adventure, we are trudging through the Dark Lake on our way to Grapplestone in the Dungeons and Dragons campaign of Out of the Abyss. So come with us for Sindri, Thane, Nod, Rush, Duncan, and Florence as we slowly and surely dispatch of our enemies in the most efficient way. In this particular episode, our characters start to really understand the deep importance of interpersonal skills and communication as, well, it won't happen to exactly lose anything except for our souls and the goodness in our hearts. But with the hero of Duncan to take us back into the faith, we shall be saved. Listen and enjoy.
We're gonna get
full
armor.
Yeah.
All right.
Sindri.
Alrighty. Turret will move out of the darkness.
This is heavy HP.
Where was I? Stay
there. Little blast.
Nice. Finally hits. That's 20-something? About 20-something?
Yes.
Hit. 4 plus 2 is 6 force damage.
6 force damage. That's number 4, correct?
Yep. And it gets knocked 5 feet this way.
Excellent. Still standing, but it is very bad.
Sindri will now attack it with his crossbow.
Cool.
That's 20-something.
Yep.
5 piercing.
Beautiful, that's enough.
Nice.
Yes.
Splash. Splash.
Splash. Seraph is now up.
So Seraph cannot see these creatures, correct?
Not at all. He can fire in there, but they have total cover from him.
Okay, well, he's just going to run in there, because he's that kind of guy.
They still have total cover.
You can't feel around for the bones.
If he's adjacent, can you see them?
Wait a second.
No, hold on. Yeah. No, there's no vision whatsoever in there. So,
oh, really?
Essentially,
so how are they able to attack Rush?
They can still attack. They're
okay.
Just.
Sarah's going to ready a shot with the hand crossbow if anyone comes out of the darkness.
That sounds very reasonable.
I'm going to take it off.
Duncan. Anyone comes out of the darkness.
Is there still a shrine? A bone shrine?
Yeah, there's still what's left of the shrine. It looks like there was an underlying structure to it that somehow weirdly collected these things.
Okay.
To it.
So Duncan's going to send the anvil to smash the hell out of that.
That sounds very cool.
And then I'm going to say,
Do you want to smash it before looking at it, though?
That's a good question.
Listen to your heart.
WWMD, what would Morden do?
I'm just asking, because after smashing it, there won't be any. Now I want to investigate the shrine.
Yeah, Morden would want me to know more about me enemy.
I'm not saying what you should do. I'm just clarifying for myself.
All right. Well, then in that case, we're going to send the angel towards the darkness.
The darkness.
Hey, Rush! Duck! And the anvil will...
Where's the duck?
The anvil will blindly smash.
Sounds
so that's
good.
A disadvantage, you said?
Disadvantage.
Well, that's too bad. 8.
No, unfortunately.
All right. And I'll drop the Sacred Flame in there, because why not?
You can't do that because that you need line of sight for.
Okay.
You need to be able to see where your point of impact's going to be. Okay.
Hey, Rush, make noise!
Daredevil! You definitely wait right in there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in there, but I'm going in!
Azul Hills, first swing,
no
disadvantage at number 3, 2, rather. That's a 16 for the first attack, and 4 damage.
Outstanding.
Second swing.
Which number was that on?
2.
2?
Second swing is a 16.
Nice.
4 damage.
That is enough to destroy, though.
Disadvantage mission.
Alright, Thane is up.
Thane is going to swing again with this flaming rapier. Green flaming rapier.
Green flame!
With a disadvantage against number 6.
I'm glad that you recognize what I was doing.
Oh, loading!
That's good. Sucker! In your face. No nat 20 for you.
No, it's a crit.
So let's see, it's that was Fame who just won?
Yeah.
Jim Jar.
And they got these covered. He's gonna go back to the boat and just sit down.
The sinking boat?
The right boat. The not sinking boat.
Yeah, Nod probably will get out of the sinking boat, by the way, and you can
probably.
You can remove that boat off of there.
What
happens? Okay. What did I just do? Eldith is up.
Eldith.
Why not? Remember me in the halls.
One with disadvantage is a 6. And attack 2 with disadvantage is a 14.
Nailed it.
Alright. 8 points of piercing damage to number 6.
That should kill that one.
Yeah.
Kablooey.
Okay. The beholder continues to float away, now very much out of your line of sight. Lupito is up.
Stab.
Yep, sounds about right. Disadvantage.
Oh, wow. This is a special
rush. I saw the 1. Is that a 1 or a 7?
That's
a 1.
I'm gonna take down the darkness to stop concentrating on it.
Good.
There's no more darkness. Oh, there's less of them now.
And everybody I've ever met is about 5 feet away from me. It's like a surprise party. But they all got me skeletons.
I'm gonna leave now. Action disengage. I'm gonna run away to the boat.
Oh my god, you're such a dick.
What's up?
Yeah, I got you.
That's what she said. It took me 8. 8 points. Which one are you getting?
Oh, gosh. What?
Just give me a number.
3.
Beautiful. Okay, the skeletons will go. So, one of them moves.
Don't do spiritual hammer. I'm going to use my inspiration point to give it advantage.
Yeah!
Sorry, spiritual anvil. That's a 19, a 22.
Oh,
seems
most,
like a hit.
Most deaf.
11.
11 points.
11 points, whichever
one.
Numeral
5?
5.
Yeah.
That one is destroyed.
Womp.
It had a hit point when you smashed it. 11 points, so the anvil just kind of slides through it. It just bone shards everywhere.
25.
Like Roadrunner shit.
I can't quite make it to Bupido. You'll be fine. In that case, I'll drop a Sacred Flame on 7.
Sounds good. The save is a... It's Dex or Wisdom?
Dex, 13.
6.
Finally!
Victory!
By what rights do skeletons have a +2?
To dexterity?
6 points of radiant damage.
Very nice. I'm sorry, which number? 7?
7.
Correct.
6 points of radiant damage. Good. And next we have Darren.
Allergies.
The pit of despair.
Attack number 6 with advantage. Claw sweeps in for a 20.
Double hit.
Critical.
Critical. And it does 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
On which one?
6.
Okay. Still standing.
Still standing. The other attack with advantage. And a 19, or 24 rather. For 5 points of damage.
5 points of damage. That takes that one out. Fane is now up.
Splash. Fane is going to hop right in the middle here, excited to get into battle. Not for the 5-foot movement.
I like how we're busting his balls for one of the coolest enemies in the game.
Getting a level 2 spell at first level.
Yeah, and by the way, straight up, like, an Eladrin, Oath of Vengeance paladin.
Oh.
Like, oh, I'm sorry, you teleported away? I'm going to teleport right next to you and continue to stomp you in the mud.
I'll attack an advantage on number 7 with my flaming sword rapier. That is an 18.
That will hit.
All right, and that is a d8. 5, 6, 7, 8 piercing.
That is enough to take that one out.
And 3 flame damage to number 3.
Outstanding.
Whoa.
It is still up, but now it is smoldery. Jim Jar's last one up. Jim Jar's up next.
He's getting tired of these shenanigans. And
he was just chilling in the back of the boat, though, before. We should probably leave him there. Move to Eldeth.
Eldeth.
Oh. Where Jim Jar was after Jim Jar. Jim Jar disengaged and is in the back, like, updating his ledgers and his
You guys got this.
No limbs.
Eldeth gets a 21 and a 12.
The 21 will hit.
21 will hit for 5 piercing damage.
Outstanding. Eldeth is able to destroy that one.
Woohoo!
So, you guys, I'm going to leave you, though, in initiative. And the reason I'm going to do that is because the beholder just went and continued to float 40 feet away from you down the down this way.
He's going to be back in about a minute.
Yeah. So, what I'll do is I'm just going to give you guys the rounds, and we'll just go around the table. You can kind of tell me what you want to be doing. I imagine that you guys are not looking to stay here and wait for the beholder to come back.
Let's set a trap.
I kind of like to kill it.
So you
really think I'd look at this thing?
Take a minute to look at the shrine. Yeah, let's check
if
that out.
If you want to hang out and wait for the beholder, I have no problem with that. But we'll pick that one up next.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm definitely going to do a better investigation on the shrine.
Yeah, I'd like to as well. I think.
All right. Well, go ahead and
do an advantage.
You should go. What do I have? No, my investigation is only plus 3.
Plus 5.
All right.
Can you help me?
I'll give you a hand, kiddo.
I'll give you Morden's guidance.
Ooh, and guidance.
Plus d4.
Can I get double advantage?
I can't give you more. You don't want that. Just in case.
It's 18 plus 4, 22 plus 5, 27.
All right. So the shrine itself is very crudely made. It looks like it was probably carved out of a coral or some similar stone long, long ago. The distinctive thing about it is that there is a wooden pole that has been shoved into the top of it. So it's kind of, just kind of think of this like chunk of coral or stone with this staff stuck in it and a human skull that has been tied, or a humanoid skull, has been tied very tightly to the top of the staff. So it's basically got this rod sticking out of the stone with a skull there. A religion roll would be helpful here if anybody has one.
Who is? I have 3. Mm-hmm. Plus 3. Anyone have higher?
I have plus 3 as well.
Garbage.
Nope. Not for Morden.
It's a sad part. It's a sad part that clerics are very rarely good at religion rolls because it relies on their intelligence.
Here, I'll give you advantage. Advantage.
Advantage.
I'm giving you help. Yes.
All right.
And Morden's guidance.
Add the d4 to that.
Oh my god! Christ!
Never mind.
I guess I'll see if I know what it is.
Fair enough.
And I'll use my inspiration.
Try an arcana roll. All
right. Yes, I can do an arcana.
I'm doing a game.
4 and 4.
That's a 23.
A 23? On a 23, you recognize this symbology as being associated with the demon prince Orcus.
Oh my god, more demon princes? Christ.
Yep. Orcus is basically controls and masters the undead.
So did you say this was a staff or is it like just a piece of wood?
It's like a stick that somebody used to kind of... Orcus's symbol is a staff with a human skull at the end of it. So this was some crude iconography that was put here.
Gotcha.
Now, did anybody do an investigation roll around it?
Adam did 27.
I did an investigation and arcana.
What's your investigation?
I think you rolled like 27 or something, right?
It was almost a 30. It was a 20.
Well, this will work then. So there is a small chest inside a hollow of the stone. It contains 120 silver.
Ooh, wow.
You got it?
Yeah.
The treasure.
Group treasure. Sindri, can you do a detect magic on the staff?
Oh, I sure can. It still takes 10 minutes, but...
Oh, does it?
Oh.
So probably a bad idea.
I mean, we're going to wait for this boulder. But
I'll rip the staff out of the...
I think it's just a stick.
Right, well, rip it out of the ground.
Just a stick. Okay, so 120 silver.
Got it.
30 gold.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
4 spell scrolls.
Oh my god!
3 of them are wizard. So, poison spray, burning hands, and mirror image.
Oh my god.
And 1 cleric spell, inflict wounds.
Oh, nice. Yes.
And there is also a drift globe.
Oh.
Which, that is basically a floating lantern that will float along next to the owner of it.
That's amazing.
I'll put the details in the thread.
Amazing.
And so, just so that I know, you guys have decided that you're going to wait here and ambush the beholder.
I think we're all going to ready attacks to hit it when it comes into range, right? Or something like this.
Like a barrage?
Yeah.
Missile weapons coming at it? Sure.
All right, fair enough. What is Sindri's current hit points?
Sindri is full at 24.
Seraph?
Seraph is full at...
So... Dungenetics listener, the one of you, I feel like I owe you an apology, because sometimes life just moves at the proper speed where you have to halt everything, including a fantasy role-playing podcast. I missed a session. Don't worry, nothing really big happened, and Travis, our wonderful DM, gives a great recap at the beginning. The reason I missed it... Yeah, buddy. It's because my boy had a hole in his heart. Don't worry, he's okay. Went to the doctor. Put some putty in. He'll be fine. But thank you for your understanding. Now, we continue with the next session of Dungenetics. Bye, everybody.
So, when last we left off, so the group is still in the midst of their journey across the Dark Lake, the seemingly endless inland sea that exists below the surface here in the Underdark. You guys are in probably about day 18 of what was expected to be another 28 or so days, so you're probably expecting another week to 10 days on the Dark Lake minimum. You've been doing very well, though, in terms of navigation. A couple close calls with food being scarce here and there, but for the most part, you've made it through the Dark Lake pretty unscathed. The last game, the group waited around for the undead beholder to return and managed to actually make relatively short work of him. Darendil got paralyzed temporarily, but that was about the only real casualty.
Jim Jar was 1 health from dying.
Jim Jar got hit with a disintegrate ray and was 1 health from dying. The only reason he did not die is because Sindri is insisting on giving the NPCs bonus hit points as well, which was a bit of a point of contention for Nod when the Were-Rat kids attacked. You also encountered an ambush by a roper, basically a giant, looks like a stalagmite, until it opens its giant distended mouth and extends its tentacles. The main way that you, it was that and its babies, which are small piercers. They look like stalactites that fall from the ceiling and try to impale folks. and again, Rush murdered several of those and then hurled them as improvised thrown objects at their mom's head.
That's funny.
It was pretty awesome. And then the problem was solved when Nod used a shatter spell to blow up the limestone ledge that the creature was on, sending it plummeting into the Dark Lake with several party members entangled in its tentacles. But it all worked out!
Yeah, I was worried we weren't going to kill that thing.
That was a tough critter, yeah. and the shatter move was actually probably the best possible outcome that could have been. Like, that creature has a 20 AC naturally, so it was going to be a rough fight. It was going to be a rough fight, especially because it put Sindri pretty much down on the first attack.
Yeah.
That will happen. I mean, you guys are cruising towards fourth level.
Yeah.
The last thing that happened was your discovery that part of the reticence by Topsy and Turvy, the Deep Gnome twins, was the fact that they are, in fact, lycanthropes. They are were-rats, fairly newly turned, as you discovered from talking to Topsy after the fact. When they first turned, Turvy had no control and he accidentally killed their family, which is part of why he does not talk at all, is still fairly traumatized by the experience. And then they were chased out of their settlement by the other gnomes there as a result. So they were captured by the drow fairly quickly thereafter.
Did we ever find out how they became lycanthropes?
Nobody ever asked, I don't think.
Okay.
Certainly somebody could, and the answer is they were attacked by something, a creature, when they were out picking mushrooms, and it must have been a were-rat, because later on. Yeah. It does not appear that they're natural lycanthropes.
We know how to cure them, too, now.
And remove curse.
Yeah. So we gotta find some sort of spellcaster, I think.
Yeah, or we just need to level up Duncan. Yeah.
What is the third level spell?
Yeah.
The fifth level?
It'll be a while.
Fifth level. The
XP. It'll be a while.
Did they tell us this last session or in between?
In between sessions, they told us that. We ended up last session with them manacled, actually, thanks to Sindri's hoarding of those items. So as you guys are continuing down the Dark Lake, there's been some idle discussion. Rush has been trying to convince the rest of the party, like, what can we steal when we get there? What can we steal? Hemeth has kind of overheard this, and he kind of makes sure that he can get the group in hearing distance.
It is important for me to know that you understand the danger you will be in when we reach Grackelstug. Grackelstug is a Duergar city, and it runs exclusively by word of law. But the law is passed down from the Deep King. Only the Deep King makes the laws. Failure to obey the law, especially for one who is not Duergar, is almost immediate death. Do not steal. Do not even bargain. To attempt to haggle with a merchant is grounds for execution at worst. Possibly enslavement at best. Non-Duergar have very few rights.
Maybe the next time.
Hey, man, you got pretty good stealth, right?
Vito knows a place where we can go, though, to avoid the nasty, sneaky guards with their lookings and their troublemakings and their telling you not to stab other people in the throat. Yes. Yes, Pupito can help you with these things. Pupito knows a good secret place to go.
Eldith sighs because this is about the fifth time you guys have had this conversation.
Well, it works like this. Some of us don't want to spend the rest of our days in a drow prison camp. So we're trying to flee the drow that had us in prison.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're trying to reach either safety or a surface.
That sounds good.
Grackelstug is a city. The city has many merchants who trade and travel to the surface, so we are thinking that, I don't know how she has suddenly got this accent, this weird Russian
just,
German
just roll
accent.
With that.
Gonna do it.
So we're thinking that if we go this route, we might be able to catch on with some merchants headed towards the surface. At the very worst, we can resupply, which I know Rush has been looking for a place to spend some of his hard-earned gold. We also,
it's also Pupito home. Pupito live there. Pupito would very much like to return to his home, where he can continue to work on his art.
Okay, so, courier service for Pupito, resupply, and a guide to the surface.
Most likely.
All right.
And the fact also, as Sereth will point out,
Duergar do not enjoy the presence of drow. I myself will most likely be a distraction to you there, but we can be assured that it is unlikely that our pursuers will pursue us all the way through the city. They may have presence in the city, and I would advise us to be cautious and to keep our eyes open, but it is unlikely that the Duergar would allow a drow slaving party access to the City of Blades.
You'll be in danger if we go to the city as a drow.
I expect that all of us will be in danger, with the possible exception of Bupido and Hemeth. Clearly, I am not to find any safety amongst my own people, so it appears that for the time being, I am to come with you. Were it up to me, my suggestion is that we bypass Gracklestug entirely and head towards the Neverlight Grove.
That is where Storm lives.
Yes. I think it is very important that we return to the Grove and bring Stool back to his people.
Do we ever figure out why Seraph was in jail?
Nobody's ever asked.
Would you like to?
I would. Seraph, why were you in that jail again?
Because Drow.
They said that I slay, that I actually was a warden at Belkenvelde. The other drow there say that I killed one of my comrades in arms, but I have no memory of the action. Nonetheless, I awoke from a deep sleep, found myself in the cell, and was told that I had committed a fratricide, which I would be executed.
Now, you're not a were-creature of any kind that you're aware of, correct?
Thus far, no.
All right, just checking.
I haven't had the good fortune or bad of turning into anything except... handsome face you see.
14?
14 on insight, telling the truth.
Okay.
Yeah. He's telling the truth as to why he's in there. He also seems to be telling the truth about having no memory of it.
Okay. You seem like you're really fixated on getting back to the Neverland Grove. Not the first time you mentioned that.
I think it's important that we go there. It calls to me. Hasn't it called to any of you?
No.
No. Not quite.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, of course. It's such a peaceful place. I'm sure there's answers there that we need to discover.
So I haven't really been talking about this, but I will, I just to keep pointing this out. Not that you've had an opportunity for a lot of really restful sleep on the Dark Lake. Like, your best, at best, you're in a boat, you're moving, you're taking shifts, rowing. But the sleep that you are having is... very much an interrupted sleep. It's rough. You're having a lot of bad dreams. You're having a lot of just tossing and turning and just weird imagery filling your head as you try to sleep. You have had, everybody has had at least one or two visions of Demogorgon since encountering him at Slubdala. And you've also... Duncan, especially, has woken up a couple times in a cold sweat with that symbol of Orcus that he found, just kind of pulsing in his mind's eye. Just kind of a series of just very unpleasant, violent images, just scary, buried alive, like dead creatures everywhere, and then like that symbol kind of coming at you, Eye of Sauron style, before you wake up.
That was like the shrine we found.
That was a symbol you found at the shrine.
Symbol of Dorcas.
It's pronounced Orcus, but yeah, the D is silent.
Okay.
But absolutely.
Seraph, do you happen to know how Sewell was put into the prison?
I don't know, actually. He was brought in a day or two after I was. You can work it out that it seems like he was captured at roughly the same time that Topsy and Turvy were. And it seems like Topsy and Turvy were trying to gather mushrooms, and they were very close to Stool's settlement. Stool is actually a scout, although he's one of a group. So
yeah.
He's Myconids are not equipped to really function alone. They work with really a collective group thing, so... So he's really not been in his element by being all by his lonesome here.
So I was just curious, like, why would they pick up that? He must have just been there when they picked up the other two.
Probably. And Drow aren't particularly picky about who they'll enslave.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, it's ambulatory, and it seems vaguely humanoid. It can probably carry heavy things for us.
Or at the very least, we can sacrifice it to our hideous demon goddess. Yeah.
Or they need a soccer ball.
Yeah. Ooh.
It is what it is.
Talking soccer ball?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. So sad.
It's sad, but you know.
Oh, no. Please don't kick stool all over the place. Go!
So as you guys are having this conversation, you're drifting, and you suddenly, your eyes are suddenly adjusting and realizing that you can see light, which very rarely happens here, although there have been a couple of cases where you've moved through large chambers or large areas with Fairzeres kind of drifting through the waters like a mist or hanging down from the ceiling with a strange glow. But this isn't the odd fluorescent purplish of that Fairzeres. These are actual torches. And you can see that there is a small island here in the lake. And on that small island, there appears to be a fairly attractive elven woman in...
Then why does the token say monster?
Because that's all I've got. I don't have a hot elf chick token.
Yeah, where are your hot elf
chick exactly. What was that? You want to draw one? You said...
Hang on, guys. I got to draw boobs on this map, or else we're not going to be able to go on.
It's nice that we could really steer into that.
I think this
lone
is important.
Woman. So we will say, lone elven woman.
What color is her skin?
Her skin is kind of a pale humanish color.
Ooh. What's up, baby? She looks important. We should go talk to her.
See that?
Can't possibly be a good idea.
She's dressed in sort of a bit of a shift dress, and she seems to be, she's got a stick, and there is a satchel near her, and she seems to be doing some sort of drawing in the ground with the stick.
Does she see us?
Are you making any attempt whatsoever to be, I don't really know how stealthy you can make. Why don't we all make a collective stealth check and see how that shapes up for us.
Nice.
15? 22. 18. 25. 6. Oh my god damn it!
1.
Fucking Christ on me!
I'm at disadvantage. I had 15 on the other.
Alright, so we were doing. Why were you at disadvantage?
It's 7 in the chain.
Oh, that's right. I would have disadvantage too.
Well, it's okay. You already.
What the hell?
Yeah.
In chains.
Chain armor.
Chain man.
What are you guys up to
on?
Scale mail. Things got real kinky when you were out here between these two.
I'm into not getting hit in combat.
That is a good thing to be into.
That's my fetish.
It doesn't appear that she notices you for the longest time, but then looking up, she sees you, and she smiles and kind of extends a wave.
So how far are we? We're like adjacent to the shore at this
you
point?
Can be as far away or as close as you want to be. I'm really flexible.
I wanted to detect magic, but I feel like we're closer than 10 minutes.
We just heard of stall one water for 10 minutes. Yeah.
So do you guys want to sail closer, or do you just want to cruise by?
Let's sail closer. Let me cast detect magic, and you guys try to stall her for like 10 minutes.
Or we can
10 minutes or 1
are
minute.
You
can stop rowing.
Are you familiar with the anglerfish? Anyone?
Yeah.
Anyone spend time in the ocean?
Yeah.
I know what it is.
Yeah.
Just me nonsense? Anglerfish is a big fish with big, gnarly, gnashy teeth. But in order to bring things in, it's got this little light on a dangly thing.
Pretty light.
To bring the fish in.
It's a glowy thing.
Dangly
You're
thing.
Suggesting that
glowing
this is a monster
thing.
That has a hot girl hanging off of a dangly thing.
I
want to
make that
kind of
monster.
Yeah, what's her dangly
It is
thing?
A metaphor.
Yeah.
but not we'll finish the statement by pointing and going, that's bait.
Could be. Yeah, no risk, no reward. It could also be an
elven
behind you in distress.
What's the reward exactly?
What are you looking for?
Very stressed.
Do you not have eyes? Yeah, I used it to put on all of my clothes.
How about we say?
I managed to get all of my clothes on. I don't know what her problem is.
Catty pigeon.
Love it.
Eldeth does not like Duergar, Drow, Elves, most humans. Yeah, she's... She's right. Particular. Don't blame her.
Most of those things suck generally. But
generally, yeah, with her experience, most of these things haven't been good.
Wait, in bad or just generally?
Roll.
Okay.
What else do we see on this island?
It appears that the island has a natural cave that kind of curves over the top of it, and you can see light coming from within basically a series of chambers within there. So whoever this person is, this seems like their home.
Well, we can talk to her without landing a boat on the island.
Yeah,
well,
all right,
let's
talk to her. Do we want to send one boat up first and then we can hang back?
Honestly, I think we should send one person and the rest of
I don't know about that one.
Rush?
I'll pass.
As this...
I want to live another day.
Spokesperson female here, I'm sure I could...
That's true?
You know,
sure, yeah?
Yeah. I won't be tempted like you fools.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You've read my diary. Yes.
I was like, we don't really know how close swings.
How do you speak Elvish?
Of course not. Are you kidding me? Please.
I'm just going to bring
some. Whoa, I guess I'm going to. All
right, just get me close to the shore. I'll swim.
Maybe, yeah.
You can talk from the boat.
You think
your voice will carry over.
Yeah, but...
By 5 feet
you
only.
You have thaumaturgy also.
That's true.
You can like project yourself.
That's true.
But do you, Bob? If you want to go now, I'm not going to stop you.
Oh, yeah.
Sindri.
As you're going that way...
Get your boat ready!
All right. Is there anyone in charge of where the boats go?
The person at the front of the boat.
Yeah, generally the person at the front of
the
boat.
The person rowing.
And that's me on this one. As you go that way, I'm going to go this way. That way, if someone's going to put the whammy on us, they're going to have to do it one at a time. Hopefully.
Don't whammy.
That's fine. Show.
Ready?
Best learning from our
splash.
Dies.
Swim. Swim. And as I come out of the water, just... wiggle my hair and kind of slick it around.
The contest.
I'm gonna try to out seduce her.
I think that's a performance check, right?
Please have it be a performance check.
Oh
my
god,
guys,
yes, it's a performance
so much
check.
Trouble.
No.
Use your bardic inspiration.
My bonuses are so sweet.
Use your bardic. How about
Well, that's not bad. It's a 15.
With a 15.
How are you running in slow motion?
Just last time I was at Ridgemont High, the whole thing.
She stops what she's doing and just kind of leans on her stick and looks at you. Well met. It's quite an entrance.
My name is Florence. You may call me Flo.
I'm Maven Dell.
Maven Dell. What a beautiful name.
Well, thank you very much, Flo. Are your friends going to continue to drift about, or are they going to come a bit closer?
Well.
We're going to let them drift about.
That. They have concerns. See, we've been ambushed a few times. As...
ambushed?
Yes.
By what?
You know this isn't a peaceful place.
I've never had any problems here. I've lived here most of my life.
Oh my god.
So it's just you and this inhabitant.
Yes, occasionally my sisters come by to visit, but I dwell here by myself.
Calm down, guys. Feel the sexual energy swelling off these boats.
There's waves.
These guys have been to sea a long time.
The last thing on my mind.
No shore leave for these sailors.
Are you seeking company or need assistance in any way?
Oh, certainly. I'm always very interested in having company.
Do you want a beer?
Do you have one?
Guys, we have a beer. We remember one beer.
On the boat?
Definitely have beer.
Hell yeah. Guys, it seems pretty good to me. Her name is... Sorry, I have a poor memory here. Well, what was it again?
Maven Dell.
Maven Dell. Just on the up and up. Because my friends are a little bit... wary. Do you mind if I just investigate your lodgings?
Well, that's a bit presumptuous.
Well,
what do you think?
Yes, but
do you always, when you meet a stranger, insist on ransacking their home before you can break bread with them?
Man, there's no ransacking here. There's a small lizard. Complete. You know. Right. I'm on the up and
there's I would like to point out that there is a dozen of you and only one of me.
And how do I know that?
Why, would it assume the evidence of your eyes?
Ooh. My eyes have been deceived before.
Is it a sensation that you've grown used to?
Being lied to by a beautiful woman? Yes! Yes, of course it has. Maybe you can see my tattoos.
Where's this going?
Asking as the DM, yeah, you just want to know where this is? Listen, I've got two experiences that end with where I asked the guy about his tattoo and he dropped his pants. Oh. Real life, two experiences. I get nervous
really?
When this comes up.
Oh,
yes.
Wow. Screw it.
The first one was a dude in Savannah, Georgia, whose name was Bob.
Aww.
And he put a B on each of his butt cheeks.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that's how he would introduce himself to people.
Oh.
And the other one was this guy.
That's funny.
That's very funny.
Back when I was in bands, this dude I met, we were playing a show with his band, and we were outside of the venue, and we were playing croquet, because apparently...
It's the game of kings and queens.
Well, they brought a croquet, so their band had a croquet set awesome. With them. And I've got my back to the dude, and we're just talking about, you know, I'm making my shot, we're just talking about tattoos and tours and what we've seen and stuff, and he's like, yeah, one time my buddies and I got super, super drunk, and I made a bet that whoever came up with the stupidest tattoo idea, I would go get that. And I've got my back to him, and I'm like, so what did you get? No answer. Mm-hmm. And I turn around, and his pants are around his ankles, and he's shaved all of his pubes, and what he has above his dick is Pinocchio's eyes, nose, and hands. And I was like, that's super fucked up and very clever. New
gosh.
Best friend, I guess. Yeah.
Lie to me.
So, yeah, so anyway, no, I don't want to see tattoos. I get very triggered by that on a personal basis. Nothing to do with with D&D.
Well, can we hear any of this conversation from the water?
Make a perception. Nope. Alright. Anybody have like a 15?
I'm not even trying to.
Yeah.
Rush does not care.
He's like, not trying.
What cool can I steal from
Rush is looking
house?
At his watch and like tapping on it.
Rush is like, I'm going to go to. Knowledge is pizza. Pizza is power.
Do I notice anything odd home. About like the ritual way that she was like just standing on the shore? Maybe she was doing like.
If you look at the ground, she was etching in. Some sort of runic symbol into the dirt.
Arcana check, recognize it?
I mean...
You are close enough to see it from where you are, but Flo could certainly try one.
Bring out...
I'm thinking
of
a bardic inspiration for myself here. Yeah, I will do a bardic on myself, because this seems very important. 11 plus.
Oh,
okay,
wow.
So that's going to be... so that's 16 plus... 18.
Wow. The specifics of it, you're not sure, but it appears to be some sort of summoning ritual.
Oh, God.
And I really noticed this.
Oh, yeah, you 100% can notice the sigil. There's some component missing, but you also realize that she has a sack that is sitting next to her.
Grab her sack.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. So.
That's what he really wanted.
Here's a question. What we should have done, what we should do in the future, is make school fart on us before you go away so we can communicate while you're at a distance.
Listen, when we get to the mic camp or whatever, maybe there's something that they can do so we can all be able to talk to each other.
How far away are you?
Message. Just message.
From you?
Yeah.
It's 11, so what, 55 feet?
Yeah. Nods telepathic.
Oh, that too.
A pretty good range.
Well, that's
60 feet, is it?
You're only 45 out.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to attempt to do.
30 feet.
Okay.
It's not that far.
I'm going to try to persuade her to have a beer with me. And I'm going to try to attempt to put my gesture my arm onto her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But then quickly snag the spell component with my left hand.
God. Sounds good. Why don't you do a deception check?
That's not bad either.
I see we're making friends.
How many
friends?
Inspirations do you have, Bob?
Three!
Alright.
Two left.
Get ready.
Well, let's see. Well, guys, my deception is really good as well. So I got charisma at the wazoo. That's really bad.
Did you have inspiration from, like, Snickers or Twiddlers?
Oh, thank God. Okay, nice. Yeah, that was a 10, by the way. That's a 20.
Nice.
Okay. So, yeah, you are able to deceive her enough to get close, get your arm around her. What you notice is, as you put your arm around her, what you're feeling doesn't feel like a silky shift. It feels like old, rotted, matted, moist burlap.
Yum.
And the shoulder that you have your hand on does not feel like a smooth, supple elf lady's shoulder. It feels gnarled and warty, and like you're pretty sure you just
like
ran your hand over like an open pussy sore, possibly.
In my head, I'm thinking, play it cool.
Yeah. So now what I need you to do is make a strength, an athletics check.
Oh, this is a better one.
Just make sure.
Athletics, guys.
You want to inspire yourself again? Ooh,
you know, thematically, I want to just do the flat roll because I think it's hilarious. That's a 20
plus my bonus.
Yeah, natural 20.
So you are able to.
Fuck you.
Okay, here's the bad book. So what's your bonus?
Oh, it's bad. All bad.
What's your bonus?
Plus one.
So wait. If it's a contested
athletics,
it's a contested athletics. She also has a 21.
No.
Yes. So basically what we'll say happens is you grab the bag, she tries to grab it from you, the bag tears open, and the bag was filled with entrails and viscera, and some of it splatters on you, and some of it splatters on her, and some of it hits the summoning circle, whatever it was. She just growls at you, "You'll pay for that!"
Oh, fuck you, gross!
And lashes out at you. Her hand, as she does so, her form changes. So this is what you are really looking at.
Aww.
Oh, I'm still
much prettier.
Hot.
Yeah.
So okay, I'll get off the boat now.
So she is going to swipe at you, and does so. It is a 17 to hit.
You better believe it.
Can we get blows of armor?
Yeah.
I don't think she's proficient.
12 points of slashing damage.
And because she hit me, I'm going to do something funny for her.
Ooh.
Give me 5 seconds.
Rebuke
where
her,
the hell is it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so she has to make a dex save.
Yep.
Her dex save is a 14.
And
she still takes half damage.
Okay.
So it'll be
3d10. 3d10,
yeah. Wow,
she's so fucking strong.
Yeah.
Should we roll for insurance?
I do think we probably should.
Help me, you folks!
As soon as the bag splits apart, everyone's like, oh.
Yeah, wow.
She spilled her bag of groceries.
That's 12 damage right back at her.
Wow. 12 damage right back at her,
yeah.
Very nice.
How much did I get damage for?
12. Well, 12?
Get your tag.
So as she comes and swipes at me, flames start enveloping a little bit of her, and she hopes she can scorch.
She does. She gets scorched very much and draws back from the little screech.
Yeah!
And as she does, let's get some initiatives. Does anybody have over a 20? Cool. Right. It's Miss Fedderbottom. So what happened is when we first saw Miss Fedderbottom, she was on for about 2 minutes. So Fang decided to call it instead. She's still a little confused by it. She doesn't quite know how to howl it. So as she flies as an owl, she's going,
"Caw, caw! How I howl!"
She didn't quite know how to hawk either.
Yeah, that's true.
Singing the blade song.
Actually, Blade Song Styles are usually named after animals, so
he could very well be the
cool name.
The Owlhawk style.
The Owlhawk style. How far is Misty Step?
60 feet.
What? 60?
30, I thought.
Maybe 30.
Doesn't matter. 120?
You can go home now. You can go to the surface.
Misty Step in the fuck ass campaign.
Wait, what do these dimension door? That's 30.
All this time.
Oh, pow! Right there. And I'm singing my song. Thought it was bonus action. And I'll move there.
Cool.
And.
So singing is what kind of action?
Bonus. No, that's nothing.
There's nothing.
Starting
the
blade song. Oh, it's a bonus. Is that the bonus action? I'm not certain. It is a bonus action. Alright, so that was, I can't do the bonus. But I did Misty Step.
Misty Step.
Misty Step. Move.
Gym jar version where somebody crosses the name and rolls stupid ass instead, so.
That's me.
I figured that was you, yeah.
My bad.
Didn't think you'd cop that one, huh?
The TMC's off!
22. You like to stay on the shore, right? It's damp enough, right? Or not damp enough.
Shallow?
Shallow enough. That's fine, right?
Closer.
No.
No, that's water.
Is it? Yes. Oh, is it deep water?
It's deep enough. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, he's a gnome, so he's
like a 5-foot radius around it.
Okay.
Shore. We'll see.
Well, you'll shoot from here, I guess.
Sounds good.
Actually, strategically, metagaming a little bit. He's gonna shoot from back here because he's in my way.
Oh, you have bonus action dash, right?
Oh yeah, he's a right. He does. That's true. You're right.
Or run across the water.
Yeah.
He'll just shoot from here. He doesn't want to get anything. He still has PTSD from 1 HP.
Yeah.
So disadvantage.
I would too if I was in.
That's probably going to hit. It's like 11 to hit.
Nope, right now.
Yep.
So, Maven Delve gets to go. So she is a little scrum-hugged here. So she turns invisible.
Oh, great.
Yep. So basically you guys are staring at her and then, blink, she blinks out. Alright, so the three of you, Darendil, Flo, and Fane, would get an attack of opportunity because she is attempting to move away from you. You'll have disadvantage for it.
Okay. Bring them out, bring them out. Time to bring them out. For Fane, gets an 11.
Okay.
Disadvantage?
Yep.
There it is.
I got 16.
Wow. That misses.
What was that? 14.
Okay. So basically, all three of you see her blip out. You're all swiping at her. But as far as you know, you can actually just move her mark off of there.
It is gone.
Yeah, she has just completely vanished. Rush.
Oh, so we're done here, I guess. Okay, but... Is this like a sandy island?
Rocky.
Rocky?
Yeah.
Can I... Based on, like, maybe her footsteps, can I try to maybe guess where she's at?
You could get to... You have to get to the island to try.
I will get to the island where she was.
Okay. So...
Run on water over there.
Can you run on water?
No, I can't.
Not yet.
Okay,
not
so
yet.
That's 5, 10, 15...
I have 50 feet, by the way.
20, 25, 30, 35... And remember, anything that's off the island is double move because he's got to swim through.
So,
okay. So 5.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Cool. Nothing you can really do here. Well, let's... I can cast enlarge on myself.
Ooh.
Increases in size with anything it's wearing or carrying. Enlarge, Duergar's large, doubles its damage on dice, strength-based, weapon attacks, and makes strength checks and strength saving throws with advantage.
Self only, right?
What was it?
Down to self only?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it's an inherent Duergar ability.
Should I do it?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, big boy!
That was how one cast that shot.
Yeah.
It goes
what
human
number,
size.
What number is on
two.
That one?
Two.
Yeah. Cool.
Well. Oh. Run like fuck. Jesus, I don't even know. There's not really a whole lot. Can I investigate the. I like to destroy this. Is there any way I can destroy the sigil on the ground?
We can try. Here's the question. Can you cast fairy fire on an area? And there you have to see the targets you're casting on.
You've got me on if you want to get the advantage.
Yeah.
You can cast it on an area, but you're casting it on the area.
Yeah.
So now the area's got fairy fire.
It wouldn't lit up like an invisible person standing there.
Nope.
Yeah, like spend my action to. See if I can destroy the sigil on the ground.
Make an arcana check.
Okay. And make it. Actually, make the arcana check.
Oh, once.
That's not bad. That is 17.
Wow. The answer is you can't destroy it because it is currently in flux. And something, like, as you're looking at it, it's the edges of the shape. Like I said, she's carved it in with her stick. The edges are starting to shake, and you can see, like, this black, tarry substance bubbling up in the center of it.
Some flows dropping your knees, carving at the ground. Guys, I'm not fast enough! I'm not fast enough!
And this pulls itself out of the ground.
We can still leave.
So this
back on the boat.
Guys, there's awesome loot in here, I know it.
I can smell it.
It's the fish.
So that creature basically pulls itself out of the ground. And looking around.
That's like an evil evil toy for a person.
All right, so we're
can
gonna
you do a check to see if I know what this thing is.
Absolutely,
me too. Arcana.
Mm-hmm.
16. Oof. No,
22.
Yeah.
And what did you have?
16.
On a 22, Fane has heard of creatures called Vanderhobs that are basically a combination of flesh, spirit, and shadow. Combining to create a creature as big as an ogre. Covens of hags devised a ritual that would allow them to create these creatures to carry out various tasks. So you now have a pretty good idea of what Maiden Delve was as well. So this creature's first action, it pops out, and looking around with its giant buggy eyes, it can see... the six folks around it. So I'm going to say, starting with one, we'll just go. We'll do clockwise from
one, two, three, four,
yeah.
Five, six.
Okay, so six. Where the heck did my six-sided die go? So that is a
four. So one, two, three.
Featherbottom. That's Mrs. Featherbottom.
Oh, shit. Goodbye.
Miss Featherbottom.
Miss Featherbottom. I'm sorry.
Hopefully it will miss Miss Featherbottom.
Miss Featherbottom.
Yes, not her. So it is a 17 to hit Miss Featherbottom.
11 AC.
So that would do it. And
1 HP.
So basically the creature, like, it's flailing around with its arms, but you notice despite the incredible size of this thing, its arms look like they're pretty weak and anemic, kind of little T-Rex arms. So it flails around it, but finally it just reaches out, like the giant maw opens up and it goes snap on top of Miss Featherbottom, popping her out of existence. So you can remove Miss
Featherbottom. I'm just imagining like a puff
feathers. Yeah.
Right. Cartoon style.
So my badass move on Sunday when I was playing D&D, I was playing my tiefling.
Come on now.
I did a combination of
what. Yeah, fade that out. Fade it. Fade it out right away. I'm not going to give away the secrets to playing the best class in the world, the tiefling. Nor are we just going to give away what our DM has discovered about being a hero. That's Travis. He's got a sweet comic book called Street Clothes. Look it up. In fact, if you enjoy his work or any of the music, feel free to look up Kellen on Bandcamp. He's the theme song. And interspersed in all of this, music from Gaines Brown on Bandcamp and Spotify. We, of course, can be reached at dungeonetics@gmail.com, Dungeonetics on Instagram, Dungeonetics on Twitter. And if you point a four-sided crystal to the sky and shout for Morden to raise a muck, you might see a sparkle and a crow's beak. Thank you very much for listening, Dungeonetics, and have an amazing adventure.